Hello, welcome to Wednesday Public Talk. Today we got a new gadget, like a microphone here. I'm gonna try to put it on. All right. So many of you have prayed for me, you know I'm unwell. So I felt a lot better now. And to Smita, I wasn't graduated from UTS. I still come to UTS every day. So all the more reason when you graduate, come back to UTS. All right, so today we continue our series, which is a three-week series. The first, I hope I'm not blocking anyone. I can walk around with this new gadget now, with microphone on. Our series on image is everything, human identity, towards glory or ruin. And last week we talked about the questions, who am I? And this week we're going to look at, where am I? All right, and so what kind of the world are we living in? Is it a good world or a bad world? Well, it all depends on human nature, isn't it? Since mankind has so much power over everything, the quality of life on earth depends a lot on how well mankind rule the world. So what is your assessment of human rule on earth? Anyone? You think we do a good job? Okay, different opinions there. All right. So last week we heard that, I've got a good summary here. Annie posted this message. There was a summary for last week's message. We heard that mankind is created by the good and loving God. We are creatures, but a very special kind of creatures because we are created in the image of God, and we are loved by God. So if you travel to the whole world, and even travel to the end of universe, you cannot find a creature or a living being that can act and relate like God than human beings. This is the glory of mankind. This is also our identity. And our purpose in our life is to relate and rule like God, and to be loved by Him. Yet, when we look at the world around us, our experience tells us that we live in a broken world. Paradox. Does everyone know the word paradox? Chinese, I can say 矛盾. Okay, contradictions. You know, you have good and bad part in you. Okay. So, if you look at the world around us, our experiences tell us that we live in a broken world. We can see the beauty and love, but we also see disaster, disease, and heartbreak, the results of human cruelty, injustice, and discrimination. So about humanity, I don't know why it doesn't look quite right. Blaise Pascal, the philosopher, say that, what sort of freak, then, is man? He is the glory and the refuse of the universe. What he's saying that mankind is both the shining star in the universe and also the garbage of the universe. So we see this in the recent attack at Nice, on France, on Bastille Day. A man drove a truck into the crowd, killed 84 people and injured 303 people. What has he gained from doing that? Why? I don't understand. Because of this, many families are suffering unimaginable pains and anguish. In the same incident, we see a motorcyclist, a Frenchman, who tried to stop the truck. Without caring for his own safety, he was chasing the truck and then climbed onto the side of the truck and start punching the driver. While the driver took out the gun and tried to shoot him, click, and there's no bullet. So we see a heroic act give us hope for humanity. But if we are honest with ourselves, We admit a similar paradox in our day-to-day lives. We love our family deeply. We volunteer for charities. We volunteer for Credo. But then there are moments when we lose our temper, we speak words that hurt and deceive others. Or we neglect people who need our help, and then we are confronted, we face with the dark, selfish twist to the human heart. So what has become to the creatures we talk about that are supposed to reflect the glory of God? What has happened to mankind? Well, it all started in Genesis 3, the passage we read, Kim read just now. And it's one of the most important chapters in the Bible, with a simple and yet all-important question by God: where are you? Where are you? Genesis 3:9. That's the question God asked Adam and Eve after they have disobeyed Him. Since the creation, God, Adam, and Eve have been in fellowship and in conversation. This is the point when the conversation between them takes the wrong turn. Where are you? Why should God ask this question? Doesn't God know where they are? Well, there are questions we ask because we want to know the answer. There are other questions we ask because we want the person to reflect on their actions and to reflect on who they are. The question is telling, isn't it? Wherever Adam and Eve were, they are not with God. They are no longer standing on the same side with God. Something terrible and significant happened to Adam and Eve without them knowing it. They have not only disobeyed God, they are relating to God in ways that God has not related to them before. They call God's character into question. Their actions suggest that in the back of their mind they ask, does God really want the best for us? I think God is hiding the good stuff from us. Let us decide for ourselves what is good and bad, instead of listening to Him, for we cannot trust Him. This is not how the image of God should act or relate. They are mirroring something else instead of God. Just imagine that I take a picture of Harry. Harry there. Take a picture. And then I show you the photograph. Oh, it's not Harry Lamb. It's something else. So mankind has chosen to image something else other than God. Since then, we have resisted our identity of being the image of God. We are no longer relating like God does, which is loving, trusting, faithful, and caring. On our best days, we relate like a 3-year-old, proud, selfish, self-absorbed. On our worst day, we are a tyrant, a dictator. Any wonder why we are no longer living in paradise? This is the beginning when the way things are, not supposed to be, become the way things are. We know something is not quite right. Things are not the way they're supposed to be. The world is a very different place from the one God has created. The Bible has a shorter name for this. It's called sin. God did not create sin. Sin entered the world because we want to be self-determining, because mankind has chosen ourselves to be the authority to decide what is good and bad. We want to be our own boss. We want to have the freedom to do what we want to do, to become who we want to be. But we do not want the freedom to accept the consequence of our actions. This is our contradiction. This is our paradox. We want wisdom, but we do not want wisdom from God. We'll take the wisdom from the fruit, from the snake, from any sources other than the Word of God. The Bible calls this sin. A confused state of mind. An active rebellion against God. Sin becomes our reality. It has entered our conscious and subconscious mind. Sin has drawn a line between God and mankind. He's on one side, we on the other. Because this sin entered the world through one man, and the death followed sin. In this way, death came to all people, because all have sinned. We are all sons of daughters of Adam. Since he has sinned, we are all born sinful. Therefore, we will all die one day. So sin happens when we resist our identity given by God. Sin happens when we moved away from the purpose God has created us. The world we live in today is such a place. Not only we are not with God, we are hiding from Him. Look at verse 8 in your booklet. Instead of welcoming God as He was walking in the garden, Adam and Eve hid from the Lord. Where were they? They were wearing fig leaves. You know, the fig leaves are barriers to one another and also barriers to God. They were hiding from God. Ever since then, this has been the pattern of our interactions with God and with one another. We hide from one another. We hide our true self. We see that mankind no longer accept our place in the world. Instead of standing in front of the trees welcoming God, we hide behind the trees. Now you might laugh and think this is rather childish, you know? But it's an instinct of every person in this room. We see them in little children who've done something wrong, and then they hide in a little corner. We see them in adults who constantly put on fig leaves on their weaknesses and their shame and hide them from the world. We call it image and perception management. We select certain informations and actions to communicate who we are so as to influence people to think how they think of us. It's happening on Facebook this very moment. But so often, what we do not tell, what we are hiding from others, actually says so much more about us. Is that right? Don't you think so? So that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They are hiding from God. They are hiding because they no longer accept their place in God's world. They no longer want to be creatures. They are hiding because they no longer accept God's place in the world. He as the creator, their God. Their new identity is to hide their true self. They are ashamed to be naked. They cannot accept their creaturely position as given by God. Have you seen any other creatures that need to hide themselves in this world? Can you imagine you go home today and look at your dogs or your rabbit and they put on fig leaves? Or you went to Taronga Zoo and they see the giraffe put on fig leaves? No, it's not happening. Because the animals will accept their place in God's world. They have no problem of being a giraffe, a dog, or elephants. They are not confused with their identity. Mankind rejects our identity as the image of God. God gave us the ability to choose, and we have chosen to be something else. So what was it that Adam and Eve chose to be? Look at verse 5 in your booklet. They want to be like God. And the snake knows their desire and uses it to tempt them. Yeah? Now we can tell Adam and Eve adore God. They admire God. They think God is cool and they want to be like Him. And that's a good desire, isn't it? But to become like God by disobeying God's instructions has the exactly opposite effect. Imagine this. You're a student for Van Gogh. I don't know how to pronounce his Dutch. In Dutch way, it's like Van Gogh. Okay? Van Gogh. Imagine you're a student. You understudy to be a great painter with Van Gogh. Do you think your painting will show that you're a student of Van Gogh if you do the opposite what Van Gogh taught you? No, right? Of course not. But that's what the snake told Adam and Eve. Do the opposite of what God told you, and you'll be like God. Take the fruit, and your eyes will be open like Him. So the crafty snake has turned our good desires and made them bad. When we act upon our desires, no matter how good they are, without listening to God's word, somehow it becomes twisted and we get the opposite effect. By following their desires without heeding God's word, Adam and Eve chose the tree of knowledge over the tree of life. The tree of knowledge is forbidden. This is allowed for them, but they chose the other one. They have chosen knowledge over life, pride over obedience or submission. It's sad, but we see this happening every day. People live their lives surrendering to their desires instead of God's word. Shall I take a sip of water first? So why haven't we learned from Adam and Eve's mistake? The tragedy is that we still refuse the one thing that can put us right, God Himself. We run away from God because we have the wrong idea about Him. I mean, this is the real cause of all our troubles, our wrong attitudes about God, towards God. Everything is a result of that. We think God does not have our best interests in His heart. God does not look out for us. God forbid us to do certain things because He loves to limit our freedom, our potential, and spoil our fun. He's a party pooper. And when we stuff up, we do not think God is going to help us. Instead, we think He's going to come and judge us and punish us. That's why Adam and Eve run and hide. They are so consumed with themselves that They have very little time to think clearly who God is. But that's not what had happened. God comes from Adam and Eve even after they have disobeyed Him. He knows that at that very moment, they need Him more than ever. He knows Adam and Eve are confused and ashamed and would not know how to deal with their situation. So God helped Adam and Eve understand how life will be after the fall. God made them face the exact nature of what they have done. Here is the truth. You have rebelled against me. You have broken my commandments. Where there's truth, there is grace. Grace is the undeserved kindness from God. This is how God showed His grace. He asked them to throw away their fig leaves. Throw away your self-help solution. That's not good enough. Let me give you something far better. So He gives Adam and Eve clothing made of animal skins, which He personally made. You can see this in Genesis 3:21. It's not in your booklet. God then made a garment of skin for Adam and Eve. A proper clothing that gives them dignity, value, and respect in spite of their disobedience, in spite of their sins. A clothing made out of love and care. You see, God cares even when we are struggling with sin, even when He disagrees with the way we live our life. God knows what it means to be a community. You do not walk away from people who are struggling with sin. You stand alongside them and help them. Without God, we are unable to deal with sin. Our response to sin is not helpful, it's inadequate. Fig leaves are not able to cover our guilt and shame for a day, let alone for all eternity. Without God, we are lost. For we are created for God. We belong to God. Without God, we have lost our purpose of being. We have lost our true identity. Like a ship sailing without compass, we are going everywhere but nowhere. This guy said, Augustine of Hippo said that, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." If what Augustine says is true, people without God are forever searching but never find. They will be sad, aimless, restless creatures. Keep looking for the next cool thing, which never truly satisfies them. So I'm kind of speaking from my personal experience there. While Adam and Eve is hiding and running away from God, God call out for them. Okay? "Where are you?" It's not a call from an angry God with an angry tone. It's not a depressing call of disappointment. It's not a call from a boss who is upset because you did not follow his instruction. "Where are you?" in Genesis 3:9 is God's first loving cry for mankind. So ever since then, God has been searching for His people. Where are you? God is searching for His people. The Bible has always been about God, a God who looks for His people and not the other way around. And this God is searching for His sons and daughters. And the search continues on and on until it reaches Christ comes down And God come down to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to look for you and me. So if you look at your booklet, John chapter 1, 14, saying that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When God created Adam and Eve, He dwells with them. The word dwell means living in, residing, and relating. So God desires to dwell among us. The whole Bible is about this one main mission of God. God is looking for a way to dwell among His people. So we see in the past, God present dwell in the tent, in the tabernacle, and in the temple. Okay? This all represent temporary dwelling place for God. But how can God dwell among His people when they refuse Him, reject Him as His King, and disobey His word? So He sent His one and only Son, John chapter 1 to 18. John chapter 1 verse 18 in your booklet. No one has seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, is in closest relationship with the Father, has made Him known. So Jesus reveals the true character of God. Jesus shows that He is humble, gentle, kind, compassionate, gracious, courageous, a leader that serves His subjects. He surrendered His life for us so that we may live. He has our best interest in His heart. Jesus crossed the line for us, the line that divided God from humanity. He crossed that line so that He can dwell among us, become God among us, Emmanuel. Jesus came to correct our wrong ideas about God so that you and I won't run away from God, so that you and I will trust Him as our Lord. And Jesus is able to do that, to reflect who God is, because He is in the closest relationship with the Father, as we read in John 1, 18. When you're close to God, you reflect Him. Therefore, where are you? It's God's personal call for you and me. God forces us to face where we are and what we are. He forces us to face the truth about ourselves. Adam, where are you? For the first time, Adam did not rejoice at God's coming and didn't run to meet Him with a smile on his face. Adam, where are you? You have never been there before. What are you doing there? Come out. That's not the place for you. You ought not to be there. You ought to be here with me, in close relationship with me. That's precisely what God is asking every one of us at this moment. Where are you in your life in this world? Face yourself in your life in this world. What are you actually doing? What is your passions? The thoughts and imagination you delight in, your secret desires. Come out from that hiding place and face the truth. Where there's truth, there's grace. Jesus' invitation is clear. Come to me, all you restless creatures, and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. You will find rest when you recover your true identity. You will find rest when you're comfortable with who you are, the person God has created you to be. So we should know any identity in this world will only lead to disappointments, or they may crush you. In time, either they will not live up to your expectations, or you may find yourself burdened by too heavy a responsibility. This identity will never truly satisfy, will never fulfill, and it will never give you rest. Because you are created for one and only one purpose, to become children of God. Look at your booklet. John, going back to John again, chapter 1, verse 12. To all who did receive him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decisions or husband's will, but born of God. That is your true identity. So one day, you and I will sit at God's table with our loved ones, along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many of you will be there. Abraham, Noah, Job, David will be there too. And we shall raise our glass to the Lamb who gave up his life for ours. And we shall know then we are at home, comfortable with our place at the table. What a glorious day. Wouldn't you want to be there? So let me close with a prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, we have not been honoring you and loving you as we should. But Lord, you loved us. Still you run towards us like a father who is searching for his long-lost sons and daughters. With open arms, you try in every ways, with every means to reach out to us, to call and shout and all sorts of things. And Lord, help us to respond to you. Help us to be at your table. And we shall look back, on that day, we shall look back to the day when we walk out from the tree and respond to your call. And we shall thank you, Lord, for loving us, for never giving up for us. Thank you, Lord, for asking us, where are you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.